Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Abington Miller, Jr.
We have gone to a 4 shows a month format, which means that in those months that there are 5 Sundays, we will only do 4, and it will be the first 4 Sundays in the month. That 5th Sunday, we will not be on the air. It's a cost-cutting device. It cost me, cost us. And so we're just going to hit the 4 shows a month. That's one. The second one, announcement, is that when we promoted a show this week, I was going to talk about social justice, which we talked about last week, but this week, restorative justice, and then restorative justice in education, and then the school-to-prison pipeline. Cannot do that show, any kind of justice, in 1 hour show. So, decided just before coming on the air that I will make it a 2-part show, and since we won't be on next Sunday, it will be the first Sunday in November, and we'll pick up then with this series. The reason I make that decision, restorative justice, I don't know how many of you even know the term, the concept. I don't know how many of you, if you're teachers, you have restorative justice practices in your school, your classroom, your district. If you're a parent, do you know what restorative justice is? And is it being practiced in your school? Should it be? And the concept itself, and that's something else. It's a concept. Just like when I mentioned justice the beginning with me 2 shows ago, when I talk about social justice, in many ways it's an abstract concept. Social justice. When you take off the social, which is descriptive, an adjective, and you have justice, it's a concept that has been talked about for centuries in Western philosophy. We don't know a lot about Asian, African, and other areas of the world. We're Western Europe, Western civilization here. But then when you put racial justice, gender justice, economic justice, political justice, those adjectives, then you're talking about a specific area, maybe, and you're narrowing the notion of justice down to that area. But when you put social, then you could be talking about more than one area. You could be talking about 4, 5, 6, 7 different of climate justice, you name it. Well, restorative justice is very much like that in the sense that what does it mean? When you say restorative justice, think about this, or do you ever think about this? What do you mean? What does it mean to you when you hear restorative justice? If we break it down to restorative, what does that mean to you? put justice aside for right now. We're talking about restorative. What does restorative mean to you? You can look at it as an adjective preceding the word justice. And if you do, then what does restorative mean? Very basically, it can mean the ability to restore health, restore happiness, restore well-being, restore your feelings, restore whatever damages you have experienced. Just the word itself, to restore, take away the restorative, it means basically to restore. That's as an adjective. As a noun, it can mean something that restores. And the operative word here is something, a process. It could be an action. It could be a practice to restore you to good health, mentally, physically, economically, socially, so that the word itself, restorative justice, does have a sort of like general meaning, but that general meaning can mean different things to different people. So here we're trying to narrow it down to a specific kind of meaning, but still in a general term, because when we move in the next show to education and restorative justice, you'll see that it does take on a specific set of actions, acts, processes, or practices. And it does have a specific kind of meaning. So, but in order to be able to get there, you have to understand what restorative justice is. And since I can't see you, I don't know how many of you have even used the word restorative justice before, or whether I said earlier, it's in your school, in your classroom, if it's being practiced in your community. So I thought it would be more important to spend this time or this show dealing with what restorative justice is and isn't, so that when we get to restorative justice into the schools, we'll know what we're talking about here. And I also want to ask, when especially as we get into it now in a few minutes, to think about yourself. Have you ever experienced an incident of restorative justice, either as a victim or as an offender? Now, I can see everybody now saying, oh, no, not me, never an offender. Not quite true, folks. Think about it honestly, and I don't know. I'm laughing here because about an hour ago, I remembered something which I think would be my very first encounter with restorative justice. Now, I'm going to tell you that in a moment, but let me give you some more information so that you can deal with this notion of restorative justice. To begin with, restorative justice is something of it as a alternative to punitive justice. Punitive justice is what this culture, this history, Western civilization, we've always basically operated on, I guess it's the biblical saying, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You harm me, I harm you. And we've always said that justice should be equal to the harm or the crime. If you commit murder, then you should be murdered by the state. If you commit acts of violence, then you should be punished by acts of violence. Acts of violence in this case could be put in prison. And while in prison, put in isolation for years, decades. It's that eye for an eye kind of thing that we have always subscribed to in this country. And you know what I'm talking about, that you hurt me, I want revenge. Either I can get it myself, or someone or something will get it for me. That's punitive. That's punitive justice. It differs from social justice in that, restorative justice, in that restorative justice is an approach to personalizing the crime by having the victim and the offender meet or in a conference-like setting where they discuss, the victim describes the harm, the offender describes his or her action, and they do this so that they can come to an agreement of some sort, some restitution agreement that satisfies each of the stakeholders. And here is one of the more important wrinkles. The stakeholders in said situation also includes the community, because the notion here is that you harm an individual, you harm the community. You commit a crime on an individual, you're committing a crime on the community. Back to the punitive approach, we look at the punitive approach as a law. If you, quote, violate, break a law, and your breaking of this law is defined as a criminal offense, then you're committing a crime against the state. I know that sounds awkward to you, but think for a moment. You hit a person's parked car. If you stay there and the owner comes out and you exchange information, you've committed an offense, but that's called a tort in our legal system. And a tort is an offense that takes place between people, more or less, or you hurt property. But it's settled between the people. You may end up going to court, being sued or something, but it's basically settled between the people. We have next criminal law, criminal procedure. Here, you commit a crime. You're committing a crime in violation of state law. You're committing a crime against the state. And the state then will seek retribution. Not so much if you committed a crime like murder, of course, that's against a person, but that's also a state offense. And the state steps in and tries you or arrests you, put you on trial, and get a conviction, then punish you, because you have committed a crime that is a state crime. The victim has some role in some of these state crimes, the community won't have, as a rule. Of course, you may say, well, the jury represents the community. Yes, superficially it does. But in coming to a solution, you don't have the victim, you don't have the perpetrator, you don't have the community in a room trying to have a conversation over the offense. The offense to the individual, but also the offense to the community. This may sound weird. We're talking about an abstraction, an abstract concept. And it has a shape, but it doesn't have a shape. And I'm trying to give you a broad sense of the shape of what we're talking about when we talk about restorative justice. So that, again, you have a situation where in restorative justice, it's personalized. The crime, the offense is personalized in that the victim, the offender, and the community gather, conversation, if you will, and trying to work out a solution that is satisfactory to everyone. It doesn't get involved in the criminal justice system or the tort system. It stays either there in the community or it stays there between the offender, the victim, and the community. Okay. That's basically looking at punitive redistribution or a form of justice as an abstract legal principles. One modification on the restorative justice model that I gave is that the victim can and most often is desirable that the victim takes an active role in this conversation. The victim could opt not to participate. Then that leaves the offender and the community to deal with coming up with a solution that is satisfactory to everyone. So we have here then this amorphous kind of concept. When I talk to people here in Buffalo and elsewhere, restorative justice, as I mentioned earlier, some people love it, the idea of it. Some people hate it. When I talk to teachers, some love it. Some say it's well overdue. This is what we should have always had. Others hate it. And so there are pros, there are cons about restorative justice. Now, remember, I'm not talking in broad framework. And then the next show, we're going to tailor this down to the school, the classroom, or the district. Some states have it as a statewide program, and all the schools, all the districts, it's mandatory, but few go that far at this point. So that I'm trying to prepare us for the next show by being as clear / comprehensive as I can be about what restorative justice is. There are three basic questions that you have to ask or promoters of social justice say that we have to ask, and that is, as a society, what type of response should we make to wrongdoing? How should we as a society respond to wrongdoing? I started off earlier saying, in our society, very quick and easy answer is punitive justice, an eye for an eye. Another question is, when a crime occurs, when an injustice or harm is committed, what needs to happen? What does that incident requires of us as a society and individually? Again, think about this. When someone has done a wrong to you, what's your response? How do you respond? How do you think you should respond? Or if it's a crime, how do you think society should respond on your behalf? What type of response is required, in your view, to bring about justice? That's an individual question. There are 315 million people in this country. But I will bet that you'll find when you start asking people of all ages, the vast majority will skew towards this punitive response to a wrongdoing. Either in terms of monetary compensation, person being put in jail, person being executed, depending upon the nature of the crime. Restorative justice takes a different view and a different answer to those three questions. And it's sort of like restorative justice versus punitive justice. So keep that in mind. And I'll go back to my question at the beginning of the show. Once I get more into this and give you more of an idea of what restorative justice is, think back. Have you ever had a restorative justice situation where you were either the victim or the offender and you brought together to have a conversation, a discussion for the purpose of bringing about a just solution? That's something. You know, people have arguments. How do they handle it? People have fights. How do they handle it? People are wronged, and they perceive an act as someone is deliberately, intentionally doing you harm. How do you respond to it? In our society today, you look at all the shootings that are taking place in the work site. You look at the violence that people are inflicting on their mates, be it marriage, dating, friendship. You look at the tremendous volume of injustice in our society, and particularly violence. How should we as a society respond? There are people who would say, you gotta be blanking kidding me if you think the person, the offender, should be treated any other way than arrested, tried, convicted, punished, versus victim, the offender, community, get together and hash it out. And it doesn't go to the criminal or the civil court. Think about the school. When we get there, something happens. You've been pushing kids into the school to prison pipeline as opposed to having the conversation, having the conference, having the people involved, the stakeholders involved, discussing it and seeking to work it out, finding justice and agreeing on what justice should be among the participants. So that's down the line, but it's coming. One more point here is that offenders, when we have this restorative justice conference, some people used to call it a meeting and mediation. And in a moment, I'll tell you that restorative justice people don't consider themselves mediators, or they're mediating a conversation. So I try to be very careful not to use that term. I was saying that the victims can take an active role. The offender takes a very, say, hard look and seeks to find meaning in his or her action and take responsibility. Find meaning and responsibility, but takes responsibility for his act. I was wrong. What I did was wrong. The reason that I did it was wrong. You know, when you have arguments, if you're in a relationship and you have an argument and next day or a few minutes, hours later, someone comes and says, I was wrong. I started this. I don't know why or this is why, but it was wrong. I take responsibility for this. How often does that happen? But that's one of the points here. And then the offender is seizing the opportunity to right their wrong. You know, as I'm saying this to you, I have mixed emotions because some of the things that I'm saying, I believe wholeheartedly there's going to be a whole lot of you out there saying, like, this is crap. This is just pure D crap. And I understand that if you are coming from that position. It makes my job a little harder because I'm trying to get you to recognize your own thoughts on this matter as I try and explain to you as comprehensively as I can, but then you having to deal with, one, recognizing your feelings, your attitude, your perspective on what justice is, how justice should be meted out, and hearing me saying things that represent for a lot of people the notion of soft on crime. I think that's probably the best way to say it. A politician is running, he or she, too soft on crime. Why? Because we believe that everyone should be punished. In a relationship argument, someone or no one is the offender, maybe using the terminology, and believe it. Hey, I was right. I was justified in calling you out. And you don't like it, that's too bad. Versus, I was wrong. I did it for reasons that were wrong. You don't want to hear that crap, I'm sure. So it's kind of hard on my end. Third and last point on this subject is that the notion that the offender, you say, man, you're talking a lot about the offender. What about the victim? The offender redeems him or herself in their own eyes and in the eyes of the victim and the community. So it's like a catharsis, more or less. I'm getting this off of my chest. I'm confessing. And if I'm doing it and I'm honest with myself and being honest with you, it's a catharsis here. And that's needed. Let me just stop for a second and just remember something. I have said several times, when I was asked to come on board in criminal justice, the office of the U.S. Attorney General for the Western region of New York, one of the first places that I went in that role was at a minimum federal prison. And it was a one-day national conference. I spoke at the conference, but I was the last person to speak. And everyone, the thing nowadays is, when you go to these things, everyone gets up and tell their story. How I got in law enforcement, or how I'm, or if I'm in jail, how I got here, and how I see the wrongness of my ways, and on and on and on. I'm sitting there, I'm saying, this is crap. Both from the, I don't know if people are going to get mad. I don't care. Both from the criminal inmates, and as well as the people from law enforcement, be it the lawyers, the prosecutors, the parole agents, and cops, and whole nine yards. I'm listening to all of this, and I'm really thinking that it's crap that people are saying what they believe they should be saying to the audience at hand. Disingenuous much, in my opinion. So maybe I'm taking a hard-nosed stance on this, but that was what I was feeling. But I didn't want to speak. I declined when they called me. But when the program was almost over, the last person who I thought was going to be the last speaker, once he finished his speech, he then turned attention to me, and everybody wanted me to get up and speak. And I knew that what I was going to say was contrary to what they were going to say, but I did, and I got up and I spoke. And it ties into what I just said about the offender, that if this person is being really genuine, then this is believed to be a situation where the offender can really do his confessions, I'm saying his gender-wise, confession, can redeem himself both in his own eyes and in the eyes of the offender and of the community. And fourthly here, that restorative justice aims to help offenders to avoid future offending. Now, everything that I said, you may take total exception to, depending on your notion of justice. Now I'm going to go into some of the principles of restorative justice. But before I go, you remember how we've seen in movies, we've seen television, we've seen courthouses and what have you, Lady Liberty, for Lady Justice. And you know what I'm talking about, you know, the lady with the blindfold, scales in one hand. And do you remember? She also has a sword in the other hand. And that's our symbol of justice. The justice is, the administration of justice is supposedly lying. The scales represents a balanced scale, meaning that there's no prejudice. Each person is treated equal before the law. That's what the balanced scale is supposed to represent. But then you have that sword that, when it's all said and done, this is a sword of justice, and it will be wielded in the interest of the state, but it will be wielded supposedly in equitable fashion. You've seen that Lady Justice. I thought about that just before we went on the air, and how that is the, she represents an allegory to this country, Western civilization, approach to justice. I say we, minorities, the poor, we know that she can see through those blinds. And her notion of equal justice is skewed, and that she, so she's a symbol, wields that sword of injustice a hell of a lot more frequently than she does justice. Just thought I'd sort of like throw that in. It was a thought that came about. Let me move to an effort to try and give you more of a awareness and understanding of this thing called restorative justice. Let me start by telling you what it's not. And when I say telling you what it's not, people who are in the restorative justice movement, the scholars, the researchers, the practitioners, they have set out in many different forms a sort of like picture of who they are, what they're trying to do, and why. In book form, article form, at conferences, or what have you. And according to some of the founders of this restorative justice, that they have a set of principles. And they say what restorative justice is, what it means, how it should be practiced, but they also say what it is not. Because they feel it's important to say what it is not because of many of the things that I said earlier. Most people don't know what restorative justice is about. They have all kinds of, but according to the other side, misconceptions, and that these misconceptions turn a lot of people off, or more appropriately, a blind eye, deaf ear to conversations and or practices of restorative justice. So let me give you briefly the 10 things that they say restorative justice is not. It's not primarily about forgiveness and reconciliation. You know, it's not about turning the other cheek. You just slapped the blank out of me, and I'm going to turn the other cheek because I'm going to forgive you. Nor is it about we're going to get together and we're going to reconcile whatever the situation is that led to you slapping me once and I turn the other cheek twice. It's not about that. They're not saying that when you go into your conference, that the one of the objectives is that you, the victim, forgive the offender, and that you guys reconcile. By reconcile, we're going to go back to how we were before you committed this offense. So it's not about kumbaya. And if you think that way, they're saying don't, because that's going to prejudice your perception and your action. It's also, it doesn't necessarily imply a return to past circumstances, which is some like the reconciliation. By this, they mean we're not going to get into this conference where the victim confronts the offender and the community are there, and the purpose is we want to move beyond this unfortunate situation. Again, we want to go back to where we were in the past before this offense took place. It's not about that, folks. Thirdly, it's not about mediation. I mentioned that a few minutes ago, that many people think of it as, oh, people get into a room and there's a mediator, and the mediator is trying to get the victim to soften his or her stance as the victim and get the offender to cop to the offense. It's not a mediation. It was never intended to be a mediation. Rather, it's, in their words, it's not even a mediated conflict. It's not dispute resolution. It's not that the parties are trying to get to some type of moral ground here, a moral playing field, where the participants in most restorative justice encounters, the wrongdoer has to admit some level of responsibility for the offense and the important components of such offense. And the notion here is, if we understand, or if the offender can be truly honest and lay out the reason why he or she committed the offense, then hopefully by coming forward with the truth, the community, the person who was offended, as well as the offender, would see that there was a circumstances, or the what we call the social forces or the individual forces, that caused the offender to offend. And we understand that, if the offender understands it, then we can hopefully take a step forward towards dealing with the circumstances that led to the person committing the offense. We can eliminate those circumstances throughout the community so that others will not commit the similar offense because they were influenced by the four social forces in the community. I don't know if I got that over clearly or not, but this is what they want versus being perceived as being mediators who are trying to find a middle ground here and come up with a solution that everyone is comfortable with. Also, contrary to what I just said in terms of my explanation, restorative justice is one of the primary goals of the movement, is not designed to reduce recidivism or repeat offenders. I know I just said we want to understand the forces that influence a person to commit the offense so that that person won't do it again and others similarly situated won't. It's more or less for a preventive measure here. When I say that the primary design is not to reduce recidivism or repeat offenders, it's really an effort to be preventive. There are three goals here, or in criminal justice, social justice, especially criminal justice, is prevention, that if a person has committed a crime, he or she's in jail or on probation or what have you, you want to intervene. So there's prevention so that it doesn't happen. If it does happen, you want to intervene to try and change the behavior, the mindset, so that that person won't do it again. Or if the person has been put in jail, gets out of jail, or prison in this case, then there's a 70% likelihood that said person may recidivate, may come back into prison for the same type of crime or a different crime. And the goal here is to prevent the repeat of the crime. Restorative justice, you don't want people thinking that one of their primary goals is to reduce recidivism, the back end. They're much more interested in a bigger picture than that one slice of the whole pie. They also saying that it is not a particular program or a blueprint. By that, they're saying we have a model, but the model is flexible. How it's practiced in one place may differ from how it's practiced in 2, 3, 4, 5 other places, but it's the values, the principles underlying the movement, the program itself, that they're interested in, as opposed to trying to, as I've said before, give you a common core, a national curriculum that everyone has to follow. There's different ways in which you can practice restorative justice. Also, very important, restorative justice is not limited to minor offenses or first-time offenders. Restorative justice is not new, especially not new in the sense of North America is now taking notice of restorative justice. If I had time, I would go into the history of it, but the history actually goes back to ancient times in Asia, in Africa, other parts of the world where the community, be it the tribe or a larger community, got together and heard both from the victim and from the offender, and they decided upon a course of action to get justice for the victim, but also justice for the offender. It's new here to North America, especially the United States, starting in the 1970s, 1980s, and it took off really like a rocket. And after 2002, No Child Left Behind, and the introduction of zero tolerance. Also, they want you to know that restorative justice is neither a panacea nor a replacement for legal system or legal justice. Restorative justice is not necessarily an alternative to prison. It's not necessarily the opposite of retribution. Instead, restorative justice is much more about being concerned about the needs and the role of the offender as well as the victim. They're concerned about the person who has been harmed and what can be done, should be done, to bring justice for that person. It may not sound like it, but it's really I think it leans more towards justice for the victim. I'll say 60%, 40% justice for the offender. It is more of a philosophy than anything else, and this is my interpretation. It's more like a prescription for the way life should be, the way we should live, the way we should conduct ourselves as relates to justice, both criminal justice, juvenile justice. And it had its beginning in dealing with the criminal justice, but it has spread rapidly down to the juvenile justice system. And now it has spread or is spreading like wildfire to the educational system. So there's this linear path here. Deal with criminal justice, civil justice, then you get into juvenile justice. And from juvenile justice, you get into education, and which brings in the juvenile, of course, but education justice. My time is running out. I didn't get even halfway to where I intended to get to. This is, I won't say a difficult concept. It certainly is a complex concept. It's so abstract, and people who know little to nothing or people who think they know a lot about it, they don't. It's very intricate, and I did not get as far as I wanted to in terms of just laying the foundation for what restorative justice is all about. I didn't get into a lot of the assumptions, the principles, more about the stakeholders, the underlying values of this idea, this practice. All of this, I believe, you should know in order to understand and appreciate it, if you are going to appreciate it, when we get to the next show in terms of restorative justice in education / the school, and how restorative justice in the school education has an impact on the school to prison pipeline. I'm feeling that I didn't do my job, folks. Basically, what I'm saying is that I took too much time trying to lay the foundation, and I let you down in that regard. That's on me. Again, we won't be back next week. It'll be 2 weeks from today. I'll get my crap together and try and do a much, much better job than laying the foundation. Sorry, I don't feel good about my effort today. Hope you understand that. See you next week. I'm sorry, see you in 2 weeks.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.